This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, where you can take control of the airwaves and talk about what we've been discussing, which is the upcoming possible TikTok ban that is sweeping in its scope. It would apply to a lot more than just TikTok, including things like VPN. It would appear cryptocurrency and some other important tech areas, even gaming could be affected by this TikTok bill. 603-283-6160. Of course, you are invited to take control of the airwaves and talk about whatever you want. Again, that's 603-283-6160. Coming up, music and medicine. Now, there could be a link here. It's not what you're thinking, where it's like music makes you feel better. Although, as someone who listens to a lot of music, I would argue it certainly makes me feel better. It can also make you feel worse on occasion.
That's true.
Like, sometimes I listen to a sad song. I'm like, that song makes me sad. I'm going to listen to it again, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know why I do that. I mean, I guess people seem to do it. Like, I just want to feel that emotion or whatever. I don't know why. But music can help medicine efficacy, apparently. That and more coming up. But first, I want to talk about the DEA, because we mentioned this earlier, because this is what is upsetting conservatives about TikTok, right? The Chinese government can get your information. And again, I don't know what information about me they think is useful to the Chinese government. Obviously, TikTok is logging my location data. Every app installed on your phone is logging your location data. And this is, even if you put it in airplane mode, they're keeping track of where you go. And there's been journalists, I think there's an NBC journalist who proved this. They got like three different phones and they went through the same trip a few times, and it was all very fascinating, and I don't remember anything about it. But anyway, so they're getting my location data, they're getting my video preferences, what sort of content I upload, but all of that's mostly public in the first place. Like, maybe they don't see what videos are getting recommended to me, but they certainly see what content I create, what content I'm interested in and produce. So what use is it to them? What do they think the Chinese government is going to use this information to like set up a better invasion of America? Oh, we need to invade it this time because this is when the largest percentage of Americans are watching cat videos on TikTok. And I just realized I don't watch any I've never seen a single TikTok video of a cat. And that makes me sad because I'm sure it's full of them. And now I'm going to have to do that. I did today watch a death metal singer sing a song about cat toe beans.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is. It wasn't a great song, but I mean, here's a death metal singer like screaming about cats and their toe beans. Now, for those who don't have cats and aren't obsessed with cats, their little toes are called toe beans because they look like little toe beans and they're adorable. Cats are the best creatures ever. So anyway, that's upsetting conservatives and presumably some Democrats who are just as bad of war hawks as conservatives, and they want to do something about China having access to TikTok data. But I think it's not any worse than the American government having your data, and the American government is getting your data. The DEA bought customer data from rogue employees instead of getting a warrant. For years, the DEA has paid informants inside airline, bus, and parcel companies to bypass needing to get a warrant. A pair of bipartisan senators now want the Department of Justice to put an end to it. So at least they want to do something about it, but we're just now learning about this, and presumably it's been going on for a very long time. Yeah, for years at least. For years, the DEA, that's the Drug Enforcement Agency, secretly paid workers inside U.S. agencies and companies for access to user data, rather than going to a court to obtain a search warrant for such data. And this is coming to us from Vice.com, by the way. I think they're a left-leaning site, so they're not always the most reliable, but like here they're actually speaking out against government overreach and government's invasion of privacy, and I find that useful.
I'm just wondering what the DEA would want with that sort of information. You know, it just seems like that's not really their territory.
Well, they're looking for people who are buying and selling drugs, presumably. So this includes paying sources inside the parcel industry to open and reroute packages, as we were talking about, probably FedEx employees, UPS employees, probably some USPS employees as well. Airline industry sources who provided flight itineraries, dates of birth, and seat numbers.
Oh.
So someone working at, you know, Delta Airlines had a deal with someone at the DEA where they would turn over your flight itinerary and your seat numbers and your dates of birth to the DEA without any warrant whatsoever. And workers at private bus companies like Greyhound, they don't mention Greyhound, but Greyhound's a private bus company. They're probably one of the most popular, and I would imagine this is one of the ones they're talking about, who provided daily lists of passengers who bought tickets with cash. So if you went to a Greyhound and you bought a ticket with cash, some worker there would write that down and give your name to the DEA.
It's just weird that using cash is a crime now.
Well, it's not.
But that's what they're making it seem like.
Well, if it was a crime, they could get a warrant.
That's true, but it's almost like using cash incriminates you in some way. Like, oh, well, you wouldn't have cash if you weren't a drug dealer. Or you weren't doing something illegal, because everybody else is using credit cards now, you know?
That seems to be exactly what they're suggesting. But before we get back into it too much further, let's go to the phones. Hold on, I don't have his name. I'm getting things out of order. Let's go to the phones. Caller, what's your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
My name is Phil. I'm in Austin, Texas.
Phil, what's on your mind tonight?
You were talking before about the various bills to ban TikTok, and I believe there's two of them floating around, one of which doesn't mention TikTok at all anywhere in the 55 pages of text. It is a more or less a screen, a smoke screen, to allow the federal government to extract information at any time, anywhere, from anybody, for any reason, without any due process, without any arraignment or accusation of a crime or whatsoever.
What was this bill called? Because I haven't heard about it.
It's S-289 is Senate Bill 289, as I recall. That may not be accurate, but it is definitely in there. It's called the Lord, and it's just not coming to mind for me right now. But
I mean, this wouldn't surprise me, though.
It's the restrict bill. It's the restrict, has the word restrict.
Oh, that's the one we've been discussing, right? That's the one we've been discussing, right? Yeah, the Restrict Act.
I mean, that's what they do, right? They masquerade it as, oh, this is going to be a TikTok bill because we don't like China. And then it does the exact opposite, which would be giving the U.S. more power to spy on people and collect information and data. That's what they do. They masquerade these bills as something, and then pretty much they do the exact opposite of what they said they were going to do.
Exactly. Or they say, we're going to protect you from this, this, or that, and then they go and they do exactly the same thing that they say that they're protecting you from. And it's just, it's getting out of hand. It really is, and the Republicans need to do something. I mean, just they need to do something.
I mean, what are they going to do?
And the Republicans, they co-signed on this bill in its sponsorship journey, and they guarantee you they didn't read it. They just took the title of it and said, okay, I'm in, and they did not read the bill.
Most of these bills are hundreds of pages long.
Aren't conservatives sort of like heading the charge on banning TikTok? Isn't this mostly a conservative talking point?
Yes, it is, but this specific bill, I mean, you know, they get on TV and they rant and rave about how the horrible, horrible thing the Chinese government is doing in cahoots with TikTok, blah, blah, blah. And then they take a deep breath and they say, okay, I'm going to sponsor this bill. And they don't even read it. You know, they just can point to it and, oh, what's the next problem? And that's how it works. And the staff of these senators and congressmen need to read this stuff to protect, you know, their congressman or senator, because they're not understanding what they're voting for, period.
No, I mean, well, I tend to think they do have stronger understanding of this than we would like to think. I'm looking here. I was trying to find it's the Restrict Act is 686. It's Senate Bill 686.
686, not Not 286, right, exactly, okay.
Yeah.
So it's S-686, and that's the one you need to get away from. And there's a few.
It has 11 Republican co-sponsors.
Exactly. And I guarantee you not a single one of them is red.
But how do we know that maybe they like it?
Right.
We don't really know that they dislike giving the United States more power to spy on people and collect information, restrict our freedoms.
You said it's only 55 pages. That's really minor for a bill.
Yeah, and you're right. We don't know. But that's the whole point of reading the bill is that, okay, you read the bill. Here's what it actually says. Mr. Congressman John Smith, now what do you think? You know what I mean?
If a senator even can vote on a bill they haven't read, that to me suggests there's a monstrous problem in the United States that needs to be dealt with, because this bill is literally going to affect your life and my life and the lives of everyone else out there. The idea that one of these people can vote yes or no against this thing rather than abstaining when they don't have any understanding of what it says is absolutely disgusting.
And that's the real problem here, that these people are voting on these bills acting like they represent us when they really don't.
More than half of the co-sponsors in this bill. Now, I want to be clear here. It was written by a Democrat from Virginia. Senator Mark Warner was the author of this bill. However, it's got 21 co-sponsors, 10 Democrats, 11 Republicans. There are 100 people in the Senate. 20% of them have written or co-sponsored this bill. More than 20% of them have written or co-sponsored this bill.
And they haven't read it.
Well, they wrote and co-sponsored it. I mean, if they co-sponsored it.
You keep saying they haven't read it. You don't have any reason to believe they didn't actually read this bill.
And that's the thing, too. Like, I haven't spoken to them. I don't know whether they have read it or not. I'm not going to assume either way. And I'm not going to assume that they would even dislike it. Because it seems like a lot of these statist people, they want the U.S. to have more power.
I can put it to you this way. If I find out that my congressman voted in favor of this bill, he's just lost my vote. So that's
good.
That's how it works.
Yeah, I tend to think these people have read it, and I know that you seem to be coming at this from a perspective of trusting the Republicans more than the Democrats, and that if they're voting for this, it must be because they haven't read it. I tend to agree with Nikki on this one. Is they have probably read it? I would suggest. I don't have any reason to believe that, but I think they probably have read it, and they probably agree with it and support it.
Okay, but it flies in the face of the national Republican platform, which is less government, less regulation, less taxation, get the government off the backs of the average citizen. That is the foundation of the Republican Party's thought process.
I really don't see that with the Republicans. I mean, some Republicans, yes, they do seem to want, less taxes and things like that, more freedom. The majority of Republican senators and representatives, I don't think, truly believe in freedom.
Well, I agree with you that it's getting away from that basic tenet, but if you ask me the difference between a Democrat and a Republican, that's the answer I would give you. But
that answer is not correct.
I agree with you that in the last 10, 15 years, there's been a watering down of being able to identify, a Democrat from a Republican on a generalized basis. So you're right. I mean, it's getting cloudier all the time. I'm just saying that I don't think that all of those 11 Republicans read that bill if they are true Republicans. No.
Well, it would take more time than I have interest in putting into this, but, you can go to congress.gov/bill/blah, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah,
I mean, you can Google
and find
it.
Download it and read it for myself.
I don't mean you personally. I just mean the listener out there can do it if they want to. And you can, Senator John Morin, was it John Morin? Jerry Morin has released a statement in support of the Restrict Act. And that, to me, suggests, co-sponsoring a bill is a pretty big deal. That's not just voting yes to it. I mean, this is him putting his name on it as something that he accomplished while he was in office.
Well,
I tend to think he's probably read it, as has the other Republican supporters like Mitt Romney.
So there was a bill in New Hampshire regarding midwifery, which obviously I'm very interested in. And I was calling the representatives that co-sponsored it, and some of them had absolutely no clue what was written in the bill.
Lord.
And they did not know. It was, and these were like, one of the women I called was a so-called Liberty rep. And she was very highly rated on New Hampshire.
And she co-sponsored this bill.
And she co-sponsored it. She was very highly rated. I can't remember her name. But she was very highly rated on New Hampshire Liberty Alliance. And she, when I spoke to her, she was very honest with me that she was like, I know nothing about midwifery, and I don't really know the ins and outs of this bill. Someone approached me, and it wasn't even just someone. It was the OPLC. Approached her, and the OPLC was the people that wanted more control of midwifery and the licensure.
Because that's what the bill would have done.
Yeah, it would have given the OPLC more power. They were the ones that approached her to co-sponsor the bill. She admitted to knowing nothing about it, and she still agreed to co-sponsor it. This is a woman who was very highly rated as a Liberty rep.
Okay,
that
this
should
this
scare
is mind-blowing.
Us. In New Hampshire, that should scare us.
Yeah, that's absolutely mind-blowing. So I have to, I stand corrected on saying that these people who co-sponsored this must surely have read it.
I mean, maybe they did, but we have no clue.
I'm sure, but I would never put my name on something, sign off on something that I had not read.
Yeah.
That's how Ron Paul ended up writing a bunch of racist newsletters and constantly having to disavow them because he would just sign off on whatever people wrote,
yeah,
trusting that it was good, just like this woman that you spoke of co-sponsoring this midwifery bill. And presumably like some of these Republicans, but look, I have to stress the point again, if they're willing to co-sponsor a bill that they haven't read, then they're certainly not fans of small government.
No,
because no bill is going to make the government smaller.
And they shouldn't be able to be senators or state reps. That's scary. You know, they're clearly not responsible enough to hold office. And I would argue that the majority of human beings are not responsible enough to hold office.
Absolutely agree. And thank you so much. Do you have something else you wanted to add?
You.
Yeah, thank you so much for the call tonight, and thank you for bringing, you know, this further to our attention, because I wasn't aware of the Senate number, and I probably would have never looked at the people who had co-sponsored the bill or anything like that if not for the caller there. And there are a large number of Republicans and Democrats who have co-sponsored the bill, and that's not surprising to me. I was under the impression that Republicans were all giddy about banning TikTok because, you know, it's the Chinese government, they're evil, and, you know, screw them, just like the Democrats are giddy about Ukraine. And I remember being so naive that I thought the 2016 election, that was the election between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, I remember remarking at the time, I wrote an article about it at anarchistgmail.com, which no longer exists now, but I wrote an article about how it seemed to be, for America, a choice between war with Russia and war with China. Because Trump seemed pretty clear, from everything that I could see, that he wanted to go to war with Russia. And Hillary seemed just as clear that she wanted to go, Trump wanted to go to war with China. And Hillary seemed just as clear that she wanted to go to war with Russia. And it looked like we were going to have one of these no matter which way it went. And silly me, of course the United States was ultimately going to make war with both of them. And it just hasn't happened yet. But this thing with Ukraine, there are many people in the United States actively calling for armed conflict with Russia right now. And just as many are calling for armed conflict with China right now, and it comes back to that ego thing that we talked about earlier with these people. They know that China is a rising superpower, and the United States is not a rising superpower. If anything, it's a declining superpower. And if you leave China alone, the situation continues for the next 5 years or 10 years, China is going to surpass the United States. And this scares the hell out of them because they're so antagonistic and so distrustful of everyone else that the only world they can fathom where China is more powerful than the United States is a world where China is conquering the United States. The United States is a nation of warmongers and yep, violent, aggressive monsters. They can't even fathom the possibility of a country being more powerful than us and somehow not invading us. Because that's what they do,
mm-hmm,
when they're more powerful than another country. They invade them. And to keep themselves more powerful, they want to invade them.
And it seems like a lot of people have this perspective of make war to make peace.
Yeah.
Which just doesn't make sense. I mean, that's an oxymoron. It doesn't make sense, but a lot of the Democrats who are like, well, you know, I'm against war, but we have to go to war with Russia because of Ukraine, and they all have their Ukraine flags, and it just doesn't make sense to me. How would going overseas and killing people create peace?
Well, it certainly wouldn't. And one of my favorite lines from Doctor Who was, I think it was one of the Matt Smith episodes, or maybe it was one of the David Tennant episodes, where he angrily pointed out to somebody that violence doesn't end violence, it extends it.
I mean, yeah, and to me, that's just common sense.
Yeah.
So how did this get lost? You know, I mean, even just that sentence, when you put it so simply, how does that message get lost?
I don't know, but it does. I mean, look at the world in general, where we learn as kids, don't hit people and don't take their stuff.
Treat others the way you want to be treated. That was literally the golden rule in preschool, in kindergarten.
And somehow people become adults and they just throw those ideas out, like as though it's no longer valid to say don't hit people and don't take their stuff. But hey, guys, that's still valid. Don't hit people and don't take their stuff. I don't care if they make you really angry. Don't hit them and don't take their stuff. Let's keep going. We have the situation on the line from Oregon. The situation, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind tonight?
Good afternoon. Yeah, I was listening to Delayed a week ago when I talked to you guys about some stuff, and that's all they have on the radio here. They just stall you guys so hard for some reason.
Yeah, like we mentioned last night, though, there's no need to continually point out that you're a week behind. You can just talk about whatever it is you want to bring up. So what's on your mind tonight?
I'm calling that the last week when I called in. Several callers back called in about Bonnie. I believe it's Bonnie, the younger one, the youngest lady there, sounding.
Well, that's technically me, but I'm not Bonnie.
So the ages they hear aren't important. What did you have to say in regard to Bonnie?
Bonnie, the youngest one, some older guy sounded like called in, said he was talking about her qualifications for being on the radio. And she wasn't old enough or experienced enough to be on media, you know, radio media.
Well, he was too much of a coward to say why he felt like she didn't deserve to be there.
Yeah, he didn't really point to any reasons. He was just, trying to make the statement.
Well, my point is, with radio or any other politics or anything, you know, when this country started, politicians had no experience. And, I grew up listening to all kinds of different radio stations and television and stuff, and on radio they have National Public Radio, NPR, PBS, whatever, and when you're in a small town, you listen to National Public Radio, they bring in, like, just somebody who can play a record player and talk about the songs they're playing. They don't have a degree or anything. They just volunteer to work at a public radio station. And so, I mean, I don't understand what the old guy was talking about, qualifications on radio.
Thank you so much for the call tonight. You make a really good point. I didn't understand what he was talking about either. I mean, I don't have any sort of qualifications to be here. I just happen to be here.
And that's how you get experience, right? You just do it.
603-283-6160.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA News Update. In the wake of the Nashville school shooting, the White House is continuing to call on Congress to pass an assault weapons ban, but White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says one party lacks the guts to do so.
Republicans in Congress need to show some courage. And if they had courage, They would be introducing legislation on banning assault weapons today.
She argued that a previous assault weapons ban did save lives when it was in effect for a decade through the 90s and early 2000s. Pope Francis has been hospitalized with a lung infection. The Pope experienced difficulty breathing in recent days. The 86-year-old will remain in the hospital for several days for treatment. An early prediction of the upcoming Atlantic hurricane season is out by AccuWeather. The private weather forecasting company is predicting 11 to 15 named storms will form in the Atlantic Basin this season. Hurricane season begins on June 1st. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Live, or you're invited to control the airwaves, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, it's Aria.
And Nikki.
I want to give a shout out to Godzilla out there on our Odyssey chat. You can find that at video.freetalklive.com. Some evil, immoral, horrifically wrong person has had the audacity to say that cats are inferior to dogs in every
way.
Right. Except rodent catching ability. So, obviously, I responded back. Blocked! Did not block the guy, obviously. But thank you to Godzilla, who's out there pointing out that cats are awesome. He's sharing with someone a video of a cat fighting off a dog to save a child.
Aww.
And, I mean, cats, how can you not? Dude, cats are the best. I have a dog. I have a golden retriever. I love her to death. But she is never going to have the same place in my heart that the cats have, because the cats are my equals, and they treat themselves that way, where the dog is my dog, certainly. No doubt of that whatsoever. The dog is subservient to me. And maybe for you people out there, you weirdos who want a subservient creature, a submissive little creature to follow you around everywhere you go, because that's not weird at all, right? Maybe a dog is better for you. But if you prefer to treat people as equals and friends, then cats are the way to go. And cats, at best, will treat you as an equal. More likely, they're going to treat you as though you're beneath them.
Yeah.
But mine tend to treat me as equal, I think. I don't know. It's hard to say because my cats will climb on top of me and just, like, lay down. It's like, I wouldn't I mean, but if I was there, if the roles were reversed, would I just lay down on my cat? I mean, my cat would eat me, right? Probably.
Probably.
I don't know, but I like cats better than dogs, and I mean, cats are just great. So thank you out there to Godzilla for taking up that fight for me, because I'm here on the show and can't do it. You can go tell that guy, that evil, immoral person who likes dogs more than cats, how wrong he is at video.freetalklive.com. But let's keep going with the phones. We do have Major Payne on the line from here. Well, not from here. From Michigan. Major, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Circle back to that school shooting yesterday. I learned a couple more things about the shooter, but I'll fill you in on them here in a minute. But there was 6 fake school shooting call-ins the next day up in Rhode Island, Massachusetts.
Really?
And the 911 operator said that they all sounded legit and whatnot. So it's thought that it might have been produced by some AI or something, so the feds won't be able to track them, but they don't have a clue who did the damn thing yet. But, yeah, 6 different schools went on lockdown, and all kinds of parents are panicked, and, you know, I mean, just think of the chaos in every damn town there.
I mean, who does stuff like that? I just can't even fathom somebody getting off on that and just thinking that that's an entertaining thing to do.
Yeah, to have people terrified for their lives? That's horrifying. I have not heard anything about that. I'm not terribly surprised, and I remember the day after this reading an article about how the FBI is saying that there's going to be more shootings, more copycats who are doing it for the attention or whatever. And the very fact that this Aiden person or Audrey or whatever, the very fact that they wrote a manifesto seems to suggest that there is some copycat element to this, because their manifesto, quote, manifesto, seems to be filled, and I haven't read the thing, but from what I've heard about it from the media, it's filled with the killer's plans. Well, that's not what a manifesto is. A manifesto is your reasons, your motives, what inspired you, motivated you, angered you so much that you felt you had to do this. Like, Ted Kaczynski, I think is his name, the Unabomber. He had like a 70-page manifesto outlining exactly why he was doing what he was doing. Not how he was doing it, but why. That's what a manifesto is. The Communist Manifesto isn't an outline of how a communist society is going to be achieved. It's a manifesto of what Marx perceived to be wrong with society, and how those things might be addressed, and how a better method might be achieved. But it's not a plan. So this person didn't even seem to understand what a manifesto was, but that didn't keep them from writing one. And that, to me, it suggests that there's becoming more and more of a link between committing an act of terrorism and leaving behind a manifesto.
Yeah, you think of Hitler's Mein Kampf. I mean, in German, that means my struggle.
Yeah, yeah.
But, as far as what she wrote up was more of a battle plan than a manifesto.
Yeah, and a terrible one, as I pointed out yesterday, and I hate saying it, but look, if you can get a gun into a school, it's really, really easy to shoot and kill a bunch of kids.
They're sitting ducks.
Yeah, they have no way to defend themselves, and as Mark pointed out, there's only one injury. I've never been into a classroom that had more than one. Maybe some of them did, but almost every classroom I was ever in had exactly one entrance and exit, and that was what everybody... So you go into that entrance, and you have a gun, and you've got 20-something kids there who can't run, can't hide. It's you don't need a plan to do that, and it would be tremendously more effective. I'm not saying... Look, I'm glad the person didn't do that. I'm glad they weren't that effective. But they weren't a very good planner, and this wasn't a well-detailed plan, and we need to stop saying that. A well-detailed plan of getting a gun into a school and killing kids would result in far more than 6 deaths.
See, and I'm kind of a conspiracy theorist in the sense where I think a lot of these school shootings and a lot of the active shooter things that are going on recently are all kind of created by... the government.
To get us sued like Alex Jones.
I know, probably. But it seems like it was. I mean, yeah, I'll even say it. Sandy Hook, I believe that someone did go into the school and kill a bunch of kids. That's absolutely terrible. Horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's hard for me to believe this wasn't happening before. This is relatively new that we're having all of these shootings. Where are they coming from? Is it psych meds? Is, you know, the CIA or whoever putting them up to it to kind of try to restrict, like, oh, here, we need to take away people's guns because they're dangerous and people who have guns are just going to go into schools and shoot kids. That's kind of seems like the purpose of all of this.
Well, I heard the father state today that she had a some kind of a psychological problem she'd been diagnosed with. More than likely, she was on meds. She'd never been institutionalized, so there wasn't a paper trail on her. So she was able to still buy the guns. But he knew that she had one gun, and I guess she told him that she'd gotten rid of it. Well, in the meantime, she went out and got six more and had them squirreled around the house in various places. But she was a staunch gamer, you know, all these murderous video games on the Xboxes or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, so am I. I mean, so is Nikki's fiancé, Matt.
She tried to go to her head. She was taking testosterone and whatnot. That causes...
Okay.
Have you seen any
testosterone. Let's talk about testosterone. So
before we do, have you seen any evidence to believe that she was actually on testosterone, or is this just because she was trans?
No, she was taking testosterone, trying to be a man.
Okay, whether this person was or not, men have testosterone. Testosterone is a naturally occurring hormone. So should I fear all men and think that they're going to shoot me just because they have testosterone? And I also want to say, I've had several patients who take testosterone simply just because they want to gain more muscle mass. It's a legal thing to do. You can get it from your doctor to gain more muscle mass. You know, people do it all the time. I see it more with men more so than women. But they're never, I mean, there is the whole, like, roid rage thing where people think that excess testosterone can make you really angry, but I just don't really see it. A lot of the patients I've had that take testosterone, they're not any more angry or mentally unstable than, you know, my other patients, so I can't blame this on testosterone. I just don't buy it.
Well, men do produce testosterone, but we are the more aggressive half of the species.
Women also produce testosterone.
Yeah.
Well, you produce more pheromones and everything else than you do testosterone, I would imagine.
That's true.
Or estrogen and what, you know, whatnot. But anyway, I don't. It unbalanced your system. I mean, she's a woman, and she's taking something trying to be a man. I'm thinking it's crossing the wires in the brain somewhere. I mean, don't ask me.
Well, some wires were definitely crossed, but I don't think being trans had anything to do with it. Right?
Well, I don't think so either, but she was trying to be something she wasn't.
Well, I don't agree with that. I mean, she seemed to be trans, which to me suggests...
No, with the video games, too, she was taking on the role of a man.
Yeah, well, anytime I play a video game and I get the opportunity to make a character, I always create a female character. Always.
Well, evidently her favorite game had some particular character in it, and her outfit she was wearing during the shooting matched it right down to the beret.
That's because a lot of trans people play video games. Like, I used to play a lot of Dungeons & Dragons growing up, and there's this meme that every Dungeons & Dragons group out there has at least one person who's using it to come to terms with being transgender. And in my experience, that has been true every single time. And a lot of people do the same thing with video games, where if your boyfriend or your brother or whatever is regularly making female characters, it's probably going to transition at some point. This isn't unusual, and it's because that's how a lot of trans people first are able to visualize themselves. Like my World of Warcraft character, which I don't play a lot, but have played a lot in my life, she looks just like me. She's got the vibrant red hair, she's skinny, she wears dresses, and she looks just like me. I'm not as attractive as a World of Warcraft character by any means, but there's a very clear similarity there, and that's not unusual for trans people.
When I used to play Sims, I'd always pick the alien character. What does that say about me?
I don't think it says you're a serial killer or a mass shooter at any event. And I think
you probably watched too much sci-fi as a kid.
Must be it. I think it's Star Trek.
I think it's probably pretty normal for any person, or especially a trans person, when they're is presented with a video game in which they can create a character with just about any set of characteristics they want to make the sort of idealized version of themselves who exists. Because that's the point of video games, to be this fictional character.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's when you step out of the fantasy world and make it a reality that you got a problem, and that's what's happened here.
Well, there, something certainly went wrong here. I think it's too easy to blame video games, and out of all of the people I know who play video games, myself included, none of them are violent people. So I don't think that's necessarily correlated. Every single trans person I know is also a gamer and isn't violent and would never commit any sort of act. So I think it's very easy when we see something like this, and it's natural, right? Humans want to make connections. We want to find a reason. This is what caused that to happen. That's what caused that to happen. But it's never that simple. Well, and if something like this where you have a female-to-male trans person raised in Tennessee to a Christian family and went to a Christian school, a school that allegedly now it's being revealed has been facing sexual assault allegations stemming from the era in which this person attended that school, there's so much to unpack there. I couldn't even begin to say this caused that thing or that caused that thing. This is a mess. And humans and their behaviors are complex things.
We're provided with very little information. The only thing we can do is take what we've gleaned and try to make a reasonable hypothesis. I mean, you think about all these shootings that have gone down over the last few years. I have not heard one report on, was this guy on any kind of drugs or whatever? You know, what made him spin out? They don't tell you none of that.
Well, and again,
I'm trying to figure it out.
I think that's just human to want to say, well, this drug caused him to go crazy, but humans just aren't that simple, you know? Many things were clearly haunting this person. This was clearly a mentally ill person, a clearly insane person who thought that hurting other people would somehow achieve some goal that they wanted to achieve.
Well, and that's how it is, right? Like, all of these different factors are constantly compounding in everyone's life. You know, every decision we're making and all, like, everything about us are a result of, you know, it's nature versus nurture. Like, all of the experiences we've had, everything we've been through. So it's hard to speculate when we don't know the ins and outs of this person.
It is, and Hayden, thank you so much for the call tonight, Major, and thank you for making us aware of some of this stuff, because I certainly hadn't heard anything about any other school shootings. I'm not surprised to hear it. And
it's just what's frustrating about it is that everyone, I don't want to say everybody, but a lot of people are just pointing like, oh, well, it's because they're trans, it's because of the testosterone, or because of this, or because of that. But we don't know, and really all it's doing is harming the trans community. You know what I mean? Like, one of my friends, her wife is trans, and this has upset her a lot because she already, you know, has a lot of fear. You know, she has a lot of anxiety of even going to the store because of being a newly transitioning person that doesn't look totally female.
Oh, it sucks when you just start transitioning. Yeah, that's the worst.
So now she's like, great, not only do people look at me and just think I'm a man in a dress, but also now they think that I'm a school shooter and some sort of serial killer. And I'm sure there are many trans people who might be feeling that way right now. So I just don't think, you know, placing the blame like, oh, it's because they're trans, that's not helping anything. We're not going to find the answers we're looking for. And even if we did, it doesn't matter why this happened. It happened. And the important part is to, I guess, you know, find some sort of justice if that's possible, you know?
Very well said. And it is unfortunate, but you're absolutely right. What Audrey did here was no help to the trans community whatsoever. Like, if she was motivated by a desire to help the trans community, which is what some people are saying, like, oh, you know, she was Trans Day of Vengeance is what they're calling it, and she was wanting to take vengeance on conservatives because of some of these laws they have passed. Like, there is no worst thing she could have done to do more harm to trans people, because when you're trans, anything you do like this gets extrapolated and applied to all trans people. And we see this all over the internet in particular, where people are arguing that trans people should be disarmed or whatever. Because this one person did something bad, all trans people must be guilty. And, of course, Muslims had to deal with this after 9/11,
yeah,
where, oh, because Al-Qaeda did this, so your Muslim down the street was suddenly scared to go to the grocery store because people were going, oh, that guy must be a terrorist or whatever.
Yeah.
There's a long history of this sort of thing happening, and it sucks. But when you exist in one of these minorities, you just don't have the luxury of being considered an individual at all times. You should be able to act as an individual and to be an individual at all times. But a certain subset of the population refuses to allow you to have that individuality.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And if you want to help your community, you can't do things that those very people will use against your community. It's like if there was a drag queen out there who was caught tomorrow molesting children, it would completely wreck the trans community. Like everything that we fought for the last few decades would just be completely undone because of something that this one person did.
Yeah, and especially with all the news about the drag queen story hour and all that stuff, the conservatives are up in arms about it. They were looking for this. This is finally, oh, here's a reason. Yep, trans people are bad.
Yep. I mean, I've been called a child groomer just a few days, today, actually.
Yeah, just less than an hour ago.
On the Free Talk Live social media page on Facebook, I've been, you know, interacting with people. We've been trying to do that more and more lately, so I've been interacting with people. And this one guy was like, you know, shame on Ian for allowing this child groomer a platform. He's a child groomer. Not he isn't Ian, he isn't me. He's a child groomer, and he's disgusting, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, man. I hate children.
And I was about to say, I'm like, I can't even think of one, or maybe I can think of one, but you don't have very many interactions with children, so how are you grooming them if you don't even really want to, like, speak with them?
I go out of my way to avoid children whenever possible. Like, if there's a libertarian nearby and they have a kid, I'm not going to, like, leave the room because I don't want to be around a kid.
But,
like, I'm not going to interact with the kid in any sort of way, and I don't want to. To me, it's a little person that isn't mentally there for me to have an intellectual adult conversation with, or and not that all conversations have to be intellectual or whatever, but like I don't have any common ground with that child to have any sort of conversation or friendship. So like I don't.
And I think that's harmful as well, where people kind of just love to make assumptions about other people and then post about it on the internet. Obviously, I believe in free speech. People can say whatever they want about me, or, you know, if people want to call me a child groomer or say whatever.
Well, you will be, because I don't think that drag queens should be shot or whatever.
Yeah, probably. You know, I don't care what people say about me, and I believe they should have the freedom to slander me on the internet. I don't care. But it is harmful, and people should realize this. It's harmful to make assumptions about others. Or to make assumptions about anything, really. You know, we should try to find facts and not just, well, this fits my rhetoric, so I'm going to post about it on the internet. That's harmful. It's not helping anything.
Absolutely. Very well said. So getting back into this story from Vice here about the DEA and how they are buying stuff, they're buying data and information directly from employees. For those just now tuning in, this is stuff like, they would buy daily lists of passengers from workers, of anyone who bought tickets, bus tickets, with cash. They would pay employees of parcel companies like FedEx and UPS to open packages, examine them, and then to reroute those packages. They would pay like flight attendants and other airline industry staff to provide flight itineraries, seat numbers, and things like that. The DEA was doing this. Now, if they had a warrant, they could just contact Delta and say, hey, look, we need to know what seat number this person's on or whatever. But they don't have warrants. They're bypassing that entire court system and warrant apparatus by going under the table to two employees at places and saying, hey, look, I'll give you $100 for the itinerary of that passenger right there who just bought that ticket.
Yeah, and when people are making minimum wage or $15 an hour, it's not, you know, some of them might be persuaded by, hey, here's $500. That might be what they're making all week.
And the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the American government, is doing this. They are doing this and have been doing it for years. And there's nothing that TikTok could be doing that is worse than that. It could be as bad as that, but it really, honestly, cannot be worse.
It's just kind of ironic, right? Like, they're trying to catch criminals. They're trying to catch people that are breaking the law. Meanwhile, they're breaking the law.
Paying moles inside companies allowed the DEA to passively monitor some services for potential targets without the friction of going through the courts, where such broad surveillance could be denied outright. I would say it probably would be denied outright. In some cases, the DEA used the information to seize money or drugs from people, but buying the information in the first place may, in some cases, skirt Fourth Amendment protections. So now a pair of bipartisan lawmakers are pushing the Department of Justice to tighten policies around confidential human sources that could ban the practice entirely across the Department of Justice, including the DEA and the FBI. So apparently, it's not just the DEA doing this. It's also the FBI and probably several other governmental agencies that are paying, quote, confidential human sources for information under the table. And I guess to an extent, we already knew this, right? We already knew that the FBI would pay people for information and the DEA would pay people for information. So I guess I don't know why I'm surprised by this. I guess I just never considered the implications of what it meant.
You know, I'm not surprised by it, but I am surprised that there's an article about it. You know, and that's how I feel about most things that the government does that is sketchy or against their laws. I'm never surprised that they're doing it, but I am surprised when it's reported on.
After the revelations of the DEA paying for information came to light in 2014 and 2016 reports from watchdog bodies. Where was I at? I lost it. From watchdog bodies, the DEA, it was because it was underlined and then suddenly, the DEA said in its own letter to Senator Chuck Grassley that the agency had updated its policy to ban payments to employees of other agencies or quasi-governmental agencies. So when the DEA was busted doing this, the DEA told one of the senators, hey, don't worry about it. We're no longer paying employees of other agencies or quasi-governmental agencies. So don't worry about it. We're not paying, the DEA is not paying the FBI anymore or the CIA anymore. So it's all fine. It doesn't have anything to do with them continuing to pay private companies. And recently, Senator Ron Wyden's office was told that the DEA's policy still allows agents to pay employees inside private companies for access to data. So that's literally what they did. When they were first caught in 2014 and 2016, the DEA said, hey, don't worry about it. We stopped that. We're no longer buying information from other agencies or governmental agencies. And they didn't say anything about buying data from private parties, private companies. And they continued to do that entirely, buying stuff from, you know, bus companies, airlines, whatever. This new letter that was sent to Ron Wyden's office and led by Senator Wyden and Senator Cynthia Loomis, a Republican, and I'm happy that it's a bipartisan effort, are aiming to plug that loophole, which sees agents sidestepping the warrant process to simply purchase data from moles inside companies instead. Because that's got to be easier, right? If you're a drug enforcement agent or an FBI agent and you want information on someone, why go through the courts? The courts can say no. But if you can find an employee who needs $500, they need to pay their rent. Suddenly you have whatever information you want. Coming up, we're talking about music and medication efficacy, as well as the National Health Service in the United Kingdom, 603-283-616.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about extreme weather, the alarming increase in man-made disasters, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on their popular 3-month emergency food kit. They include tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners with over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. For a limited time, save $200 plus get free shipping on your 3-month supply at MyPatriotSupply.com. Too many Americans are being let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.